When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me Rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Feed me more.
May you rest in peace.
Awesome!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hulkamania is running wild!
Yeah. I said give me a hell yeah!
Shooting blanks! Wrestling report!
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy Ryback, and I'm joined with Raj Giri of Wrestling Inc. Raj, what's going on?
It's WrestleMania season, so it's a busy time of year. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It doesn't seem like that long ago it was WrestleMania season last year. The years are going by faster and faster.
Right, I know. No kidding.
I've been out almost 4 years. This doesn't even seem like it. Honestly, it seems like the other day, so.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like that.
In May. It'll be 4 years, so we're not quite there yet, but it's fast approaching, so.
Yeah, wow. Well, someone who looks like they might be missing WrestleMania season is Samoa Joe. Joe was apparently filming a commercial for WWE that had a table bump, and during the table bump, he suffered a concussion. And it's believed that it might be bad enough that it could keep him out for WrestleMania 36. Joe has been with the company, with NXT and WWE, since 2015, so 5 years. He's just been plagued with injuries since he's only had one WrestleMania so far. So, he came back. He was injured in the fall with a finger injury, came back, was a babyface, got injured a few weeks ago, suffered a concussion. It was a slight concussion, came back, and now another concussion. So injuries plaguing Samoa Joe.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate. I like Joe a lot, and that's just – he's had a long wrestling career. We've talked about it before he got to WWE. He put a lot of miles on his body, working a very, very hard style. And he's a large guy as well. That's one thing in pro wrestling too. The heavier you are, the more strain it does put on your body, especially if you try to, and he's a very good worker, but he does a lot of things. He puts a lot of stress on his body. And obviously, though, when it comes to concussions, that's kind of it's once that process starts happening, it could be really frustrating. And it's nothing, you know, we saw it with Daniel Bryan, and he had him just, it was something he had to get figured, sorted out. And I think he had to switch things up. And, you know, Joe, it's been like little thing after, it's little things, but that schedule, it's not just the little things. It was all the years before, and then you get there and it's... I don't know, man. It's just one of those things. It's definitely, I feel for him, because WrestleMania is something you want to be a part of every year, and especially too if he's probably going to be there and he's probably going to feel fine,
right?
If they do keep him out for that, and you just look at it from, and I just knowing how Vince operates and Hunter and the other people, they look at it from an investment standpoint. That where it's harder to then put you in bigger storylines if they think that there's, you know what I mean? That you're kind of getting injured often. And so then it's like, well, what do you do? Then you're kind of not figured in for a while on things. It's possible. And then you got to show that you can stay healthy again. And then do they take a chance on you again? And then if you get hurt again, which is kind of, I don't know where he's at on that scale with them. It's definitely, I think they've flirted with the commentary, and so it's something I'm sure they're aware of as far as just how much can you invest in something if they don't know.
Right.
And it's not his fault. It's just he's had – I tell you, you can't explain those things. It's just the way that it's a tough job, and it doesn't mean he's not tough or anything like that. It's just now there's protocols and things in place where before guys would just keep working. Now you can't do that. And you got to stay within the system. And so,
Yeah, you're kind of seeing that with Sasha Banks right now. I'd mentioned, you know, Joe on and off almost 5 years with WWE. Yeah. How much of a, and he's only been able to do one WrestleMania, how big, especially like, let's say he'd probably be somewhere, probably on the mid card.
Yeah.
How big of a deal is that WrestleMania check for you know, someone in Joe's position?
Well, you want to be on the main show. On that, and especially now, and I don't know what the payouts are now, but obviously guys are making higher downsides than they have been at any period here in recent history. It definitely plays a part. That WrestleMania payday is the best payday of the year. But again, into my time there, we got fucked over quite a bit. My first one with Mark was decent. It was my best singles payout I'd ever gotten, which was still way under what it probably should have been. From what other guys in that position years past had probably made. And then I did they put me in, again, that was my story of doing the pre-shows for the other four, whatever it was that I did. And they knew that drove me crazy. And it was those payouts sucked. And that's being honest. It was one of my lowest payouts of the year was WrestleMania New Orleans, where we did the tag match with Swagger and Cesaro, Usos, the Primo and Epico, and me and Axel.
Right.
That four-way tag or whatever. And that was, no joke, I think one of my lowest payouts of the entire year pay-per-view was. No rhyme or reason, which should have been, technically should have been my highest pay-per-view probably of the year, still being WrestleMania. And it was, so you never know what they're going to do or what's going on with each guy. But you want to, typically if you're on WrestleMania, you're looking forward to a pretty decent payday. So, it's... Every talent should you want to be a part of that,
right?
No doubt.
So even if you're in the Andre Battle Royal, your payout it'll be decent, but it might not necessarily be your highest pay per view payout of the year if you're featured on the main card.
Yeah, something like that. You're not getting that. I mean, it's not really those Battle Royal participants, and at least from the years prior. It was just a way to get everybody to go out there on the show in front of that many people. And that pay is not, you're getting a check, but it's just like you'd get a check for, it's nothing special for those guys typically, unless you're, you know, and again, if you're Big Show and have a high downside and they put you in it that year, like Big Show was, Big Show probably made a fair amount because of his high downside. They have to match that downside one way or the other. So that's where, you know, having the high downsides pay in. But most of those guys are on fucking such low downsides, which is why they get put in that position to begin with, because they don't have any obligation to use them. So,
yeah. How big of a difference would you say your payout between your match with Mark Henry and that multi-person tag match at WrestleMania? How big of a difference was it? Are we talking
So I believe that was that WrestleMania check, and I got it still. I got all my checks up there. I would say that was... That match was either for 60-something thousand or 70-something thousand, because there might have been other things figured in for that payout week of that. But the check, the total check that with WrestleMania figured in was like 70-something thousand, which is not – there's guys that make way more than that on that. And for that profile, for being literally working on top for that year, that was a low amount. Grateful for it nonetheless. And then I want to say that WrestleMania in New Orleans was something like $1,500 or something ridiculous.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So that's just so – that was the year, though, of the punishment year that I took, where there was – that was the lowest amount I'd ever made working there. And I'd worked more that year, was involved on everything, worked main events with Axel on certain things, on live events. And it was – but on TV, we were – it was a very odd period.
Yeah, so you mentioned
it's a huge difference.
That's wild. I didn't realize it quite that much. You mentioned punishment. Vicky Guerrero, she was talking on her podcast this week. She appeared at an AEW dark taping in Garland, Texas, back in December, and she noticed that WWE officials now refuse to talk to her, and they're no longer replying to her emails. She said that basically she's being punished for appearing at AEW, even though it wasn't on the main show. It was on Dark.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Yeah, not surprising. It's, I know, in with guys, I can't have a guy, there's no WWE guys, and I'm friends with some of them, that it's getting them on. I got, and actually, Connor from The Ascension, he's going to come on here after leaving there, after being released and everything. He's going to come on the show. But the majority, I remember, like, even guys I'm friends with, I just know they have to go through the office to get approval to do, because that's one of the things I remember when I was there, they added that in. They said, which is crazy for independent contractors, they're not allowed to make decisions on their own, right? WWE literally said, you're not allowed to do any interviews unless it's approved through us. So that's really odd to do that to independent contractors, but that's what they do, where the talent. So if I wanted Dolph to come on the show, if Dolph came on and did my podcast and we didn't even talk about wrestling, we just talked about comedy for an hour, there would be repercussions on his end. They'd probably fine him to some degree, or the guys would get punished. That's what they, because they, everything has to go through that talent relations now on any interview, and because they want such control over the guys. So in with Vicky, my thing is, she's not working for WWE. Why? It just makes, it's pro wrestling and people, it's all intertwined. Everyone knows everybody anyways.
Right.
It just really, you know, I'm not happy about that. I don't like hearing that. And it, you know, it makes it tougher. I would love to be able to talk to guys that I wrestled with and could share stories with and whatnot, but it's just the way that it is. And that's what they do. That it's just how people, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
Yeah. Diamond Dallas Page, when I spoke to him a while ago, he was saying that big Raw reunion they had last August, I believe it was, like, he wasn't invited to that, and he's pretty sure it's because of the AEW ties.
No doubt. That's just what they, this is serious, I'm sure, to them. They've already had to spend a lot more money with AEW coming around on talent that they've, which just shows how much they were getting away with before. So they should be concerned. AEW's, they should be very, very, to me, it's as if the tie, and this isn't going to happen right away, but it's going to take time. But AEW has everything to overtake WWE over time.
And speaking of which, AEW beating NXT again this week. It's kind of becoming redundant. This week it did, sorry, I got the wrong week here in front of me, but it was close to 900,000 viewers. While NXT was, let's see, I'm sorry, one second. But real quick, your thoughts on AEW this past week. Wardlow made his debut in a steel cage, his first singles match. I thought he looked really good. First singles match on national TV against Cody. And in my opinion, that was my favorite match on the show.
Absolutely. That was my first time seeing him. And I've never heard of him before seeing him on AEW. And I know they did the little vignette with him and then brought him in, and he's been in the suit the whole time and didn't know what he was or what he was about. I thought he performed very well in a high profile match for his first time being on TV. I think you got to give him time and let him get comfortable. I can critique things and look, cause I know, and I think being a big guy and understanding, I feel like he's playing the part of a big guy in what he thinks he needs to be playing in his head. That will take time, but that is, and again, he's very new to all this. I think when he can let go, like it was, I remember even when I came on, I was able to zone out and kind of, I was still just myself intensified with that and just with more intensity. I think when I watch him, I see a lot of great things, but I feel like I'm watching a guy try to be Brock Lesnar or Bill Goldberg and what he thinks that guy, but he will come into his own over time. And that's not knocking him at all. Like, I was very impressed with him, and especially in being in there with Cody, I thought he did a very, very good job. And I think over time, when he is able to, I am much more comfortable now being myself. And because I know that I could have that intensity whenever I need, I think it's going to take him some time to where he can start opening up and being himself. He doesn't have to just be doing the flex thing after everything. That's cool. I like it. But there's a way to do it naturally and not force it. And this is me critiquing because I know this role very well, but I was very impressed with him. And it's tough coming in. I wish, and I get it, he's essentially not known coming in and working with Cody. I'm not a fan of guys losing their first televised matches, and it happened with Jeff Cobb with them also, but Jeff's not signed. It's a little bit of a different deal. I think if he was signed, I don't think he's doing this. I think this is whatever he's doing, he's okay with clearly. And it, I think there's down the road, they could do something with him because he's awesome. But someone like Wardlow, and you don't know a lot about him. So he's working in there with Cody. Cody is a main event guy for AEW. So by default, he's elevated into main event guy. Problem is, and I talk about this a lot, when you play that bigger role or the supposed to be the monster type character, it's a really tough thing. You can't lose a lot. And yeah. It's just tough because you're coming in and you're supposed to be the enforcer, the muscle, the guy that, and again, you could still be that. But I also sometimes think that you need to get some wins and established over time before you start getting some losses. I know what they're doing though, and they're limited on things and where they're going. So I'm not complaining about it at all. And he's going to develop over time, and he's so new to this. So fantastic job though. And I watched that match and I enjoyed it. I loved Cody fucking crazy with his moonsault off the top. And, but it was a great finish. And again, that's if you're going to beat someone he kicked out of Cody's finish. I honestly, it would have been nice to, and this is me critiquing watching, and it's if you're going to make him, you know, maybe he kicks out of multiple finishes, and I'm not a fan of that necessarily.
Right.
But where that was maybe a little more desperation that what do I do to beat him? That story was told a little more. That's me nitpicking. They have TV. They have time. There's only so much they can do. So I loved it. All of it.
Yeah. I mean, as a viewer watching, there is that genie in the bottle where once it's out, once you see the monster get beat, it takes that specialness away. Once you see Andre pinned or Brock pinned, it's
weird. Just,
yeah.
I can't. And I used to explain it like there's just something about it because there's something you see like physically when you see somebody that is physically maybe more, they're just visually more intimidating than the other people. It's a weird, weird thing. And it's pro wrestling. I don't know why it is. But you could lose. You have to lose. Everyone loses. It's just a matter. I don't know.
I mean, that's even in TV and movies, right? In Drago, you're not having him lose or get knocked down before he faces Rocky or, you know, Drago's son before he faces Creed. They're always undefeated.
And yeah.
Can't be stopped. And, you know, that's the specialness with the big giant monster.
But that role is it's a great thing. But you got to protect it for as long as you can when you do decide to have that role played, I feel like.
Right.
Because the payoff is much bigger when you allow it to be. And then you can evolve the character after that time has been set up. And even then, you got to still be careful of how much. But you had Wardlow, man, I'm telling you, he'll figure this out over time. And he's around the right people there. My best advice I could say is just be yourself. Don't worry about you can't play the role of a big guy. You have to be a big guy. And that comes with confidence. And I'm telling you, it comes out and that's me nitpicking. And he did a fantastic job though. I think he comes out with his own identity and he will over time. Right now he's playing a role where he's limited on what he's speaking and character and personality. He's playing a part. So,
Actually, real quick, I want to get your opinion on this. I got some crap for this on Twitter, but the Dominik Dijakovic-Keith Lee match, two big guys.
Okay.
They did amazing moves and stuff, but my criticism is that they don't feel their size because they're doing all that. As a big guy, as someone muscular, and big, there's not many guys like that in wrestling. So once you're doing what everyone else does, it kind of takes away what's unique about you is what I was arguing.
Yeah.
What would you think?
That's called knowing how to get over. And that's the guys, and that's called being green. And people can sit there. You can learn. So this is my thing with wrestling and these guys. You could take any dummy off the street and teach them every wrestling move in the book and say, go in the ring and just trade moves for 20 minutes back and forth. I'm telling you, that is not pro wrestling. You talk to all the legends, you talk to all the greats. That is not pro wrestling. There is a psychology in knowing how to work, and you can go in out there and get a reaction without doing all the moves. And you do certain moves at certain times, and you make those moves more valuable rather than you make a move, a $1 million move, rather than whoring out a bunch of dollar moves all match.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question.
You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
And that's what's happened with today's wrestlers as a whole, is they don't understand that part, and they understand that you can get a reaction that's 10 times as loud when you do that one move at the right time and learn how to fill in the blanks and tell a story and do, rather than move, 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 move. Let's show all these internet fans that we talk to how cool we are and that we can do all the moves that all the small guys can do because we're quote unquote workers. Right. It's like, no, it's not. There's a reason. Like, cool. If you want to do that, that's fine. There's just a way to do it, and you can get, those guys will never be perceived as somebody larger than life in pro wrestling, though, based solely off of doing that. And that's not just my opinion. That's a lot of people's opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree.
That's not to take away anything the guys can do. It's not to take, but learning wrestling moves is the easiest part of pro wrestling, which is why you're seeing all these talents do that, because they can't figure out the actual psychology of the rest. And that is me being in the system and seeing that firsthand and talking to guys. That is exactly what is going on. They don't understand psychology.
Yeah. Steve Austin and Jerry Lawler were saying the same exact thing on his podcast.
And so, I talked to these guys off the air, and this isn't just I'll say it, who gives a fuck what some of these people think. That's the truth of the situation. And I've lived it and seen it. From my generation of guys in developmental, the guys that would go and just do moves all match were the guys that didn't understand wrestling psychology. And and it used to get shit on, and they would get pushed out of the business because they didn't have the fucking patience to learn and go in there and actually tell a story. You can literally take the dumbest person in the world and just go in and teach them moves and say, guys, go kill yourselves for 30 minutes with no rhyme or reason.
Yeah, and keep kicking out it too. I took a couple buddies to WrestleMania who aren't wrestling fans to TakeOver last year during WrestleMania weekend, and they thought it was comical how much they were kicking out it too. They would just go, "What you?" and they just start cracking up because,
from a psychology standpoint, their offense fucking sucks.
Yeah, that means that move doesn't hurt that bad.
No, and you know what they're doing is you're killing yourself for when you don't have to. There's nothing more satisfying to me is you could watch that and then go out there and I could just do my fucking entrance and get 10 times that reaction than anything they do. I swear to God, it's the truth. And it's because it's energy and it's learning how to fucking play with that energy with the crowd. And you look at all the biggest names in pro wrestling. When was that ever? Even guys like Sean that did things. Sean had psychology and didn't have to do that beginning to end.
Right.
And all those guys, if you would have said to Stone Cold and The Rock, the style, then guys, fuck storytelling, fuck emotion, fuck intensity. Just go out and kick out on two as much as you can for 20 minutes bell to bell and just do as many moves. Those guys could have done that.
Right.
There's no, you're going to tell me they couldn't do that? No doubt they could have done that. But that's not pro wrestling. It's not. And the guys, I'm telling you why it's going on, because I've seen it firsthand. They don't understand psychology and they don't know how to tell a story. So they replace it with straight up moves.
Yeah. I mean, you had Hogan who had fans convinced that a leg drop was, would kill you.
Yeah.
And now you got people dropping people on their necks, on the ring apron, and they kick out it too.
Nobody's going to be there for those guys when their bodies are crippled later on, by the way. I'm telling you, nobody in it will. It's their own. Learning how to work is an art of where in preserving yourself. And it's, it is what it is. And that doesn't take away from the athletic ability or anything of that nature, but there's a reason why it's being done, and it's because of the lack of psychology.
Right. So I mentioned earlier Dynamite beating NXT. Dynamite did 893 viewers on TNT. NXT was also so Dynamite was up from last week. They did 817 last week, so they were up 9%. NXT was up a little bit. They were up 5% as well. They did 794,000 viewers. They were coming off a TakeOver. And so it was their post pay-per-view show. So you would expect a bump. But yeah, both shows up. So that's a good thing. They're up against the Democratic debate, which did close to 20 million viewers. It was good rating for both. AEW did a 0.31 in the 18 to 49 demo, topping the 0.25 that NXT did in the demo by 24%. So another decisive win for AEW, but both shows were up.
And I did the AEW ran. Did they run that big building in Atlanta that WWE runs where I had Hell in the Cell? It looked like it.
Yeah, it was the State Farm Arena.
I think the name has changed from when I was there. But because I saw the talk about DDP and Austin Aries, because I saw a photo of them with that fence, and I recognized that was the big arena. I thought that I liked AEW being in that big arena. I thought it had a really good feel to it. And that place looked packed to me. I don't know what the...
They did a good job, lighting it and making it, because they didn't open up a lot of the sections. I think it was about 5,000 is what they ended up doing. And WWE does, for a big pay-per-view or Raw, they'll do like 10,000 to 12,000.
Yeah. So. But it looked, I couldn't tell a difference from that. What I saw. I go, wow, that place, because they did a shot, it looked like it went all the way back. And I go, that looked fantastic. But big fan of the good, great job to AEW on the presentation, because it gave it a really big time feel with that. I saw Cody even mention in an interview too that, if AEW he feels would fare very well on Monday night. And like eventually, no, but that's the attitude you need to have. Because right now they're on a Wednesday, which isn't a wrestling night. It's been a new wrestling night that was created. They're winning over a WWE product. I think it would be, this is just me, and we talked about the different levels, level one NXT, level two SmackDown, and the final boss is Raw, where if AEW was the aggressor, and in a year they moved it to fucking SmackDown night, they took AEW, you know what I mean? And then start beating SmackDown for a year, and we are watching the AEW just keep getting more and more powerful and more over, and then they move it to Monday nights and it's a full-blown takeover. That would be, to me, bringing it to WWE over time and just keep beating them. That would be awesome. So
I think that would make things a lot more interesting. Tony Khan has said he wouldn't do Monday nights. He wouldn't go against the NFL. Is the only reason he says he'd never put it against the NFL. But I don't know.
People change all the time.
Right.
they get that sweet TV deal with TNT wanting to go back. TNT wants revenge.
Absolutely. Raw this week did their best rating of the year so far, 2.437 million viewers on President's Day. So it was up last week from 4%, up 4% from last week. The one thing, though, was that it had a gigantic drop from the first hour to the third. It dropped 22%, one of the biggest drops it's had, the seventh biggest, actually. It did 2.671 million viewers in the first hour, and that's coming off of the Randy Orton, Matt Hardy angle, and that gained, at the end of that, gained a ton of viewers that stayed for a little bit, and then it dropped to 2.1 million viewers essentially in the third hour. So 22% drop. Fans liked what they saw in the first hour. They did the main event that they did on Raw. They've done every week so far this year. Like a variation of that main event. The Team Owens versus Team Rollins has been done every
week. Right. Yeah.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I don't know, man. I don't know what they can do. I don't know if they're just going with it too, and were they just like, look, we're going to get a drop the third hour. What are we going to try to do? Let's just go with it. I would like to see them maybe put some, try to have the good close of the show, leave you hanging. You can't, obviously it's tough to do that every week with that, but I loved the Matt Hardy Randy Orton stuff. I love Matt Hardy just being the Kenny from South Park on his way out. Like that's what I feel like, and I saw something for you. I was like, Actually, now I am a fan of bringing Matt Hardy. I want him to come back one more week. Because it's getting the angle over with Randy. It makes Matt look like he keeps getting... Edge has been off TV with it. Matt keeps showing back up after getting fucked up. It's not hurting. They're not doing regular matches. And he's already banged up. And it's on the way out. So he's not, you know... And it's with Randy, who is a top guy. I would be a fan of one more week with Matt Hardy. And let Orton get some real, real heat out of this.
They could have him go to his house.
Everything. Just, I'm talking, yeah. It would be
go to the hospital.
Like, I would, just because it's working. Yeah. I really think it's working. And Matt is doing a phenomenal job with this. And it's getting, I love it because for me, it's not just a senseless jobbing a guy out where there's no payoff. It is helping an angle get over on your way out. And he's not actually, he's much more figured in. That I'd rather see that than Matt Hardy being on TV with no entrance, putting a guy over in 2 minutes that means nothing, right, who they're not going to do anything with. It is fueling an angle, and I love it. I think that's actually, they have something with that. It would be, that's one more week with Matt Hardy I would be a fan of.
Yeah, I agree. Also, SmackDown last Valentine's Day, that did 2.46 million viewers. So SmackDown, I mean, they are very steady. They're in that 2.4 to 2.6 million range. It's down a lot from what Fox was doing last year. Fox would do like 4.5 million and about the same in the demo, maybe a little higher. But the SmackDown is year round, whereas, you know, Fox, you know, it was strong in the fall. So, you know, it hasn't grown, but it's very steady and on a Friday night.
It is steady, and it is, again, on a Friday, and WWE's numbers are down as a whole on the ratings. But as long as, again, you know, they have those TV deals, as long as the networks are satisfied, and I couldn't tell you if they are or not. I can't tell you if they wanted higher numbers or if they're content with that. They may very well be very happy with that number and just want WWE to stay consistent with that. So,
yeah.
As long as they're not – they can stay, they're not going down – you know, but again, in a year, are we talking, you know, they're fighting to keep 2.0 every week.
Right.
That's kind of what's going on, you know, or are we talking in 5 years and, you know, it's, you know, a 0.5 is strong. I don't know.
Yeah. The goalposts keep moving. And speaking of which, the XFL week two ratings down about 35% from the opening weekend, 34% actually. That does factor in FS1, which is, it was on FS1 this week, last week. That game was on ESPN. FS1 is the weakest of the networks that the XFL airs on. But if you did an apples to apples, the ABC game from the first ABC game on Saturday from week one to the first ABC game on Saturday week two was down 35%. It went from 3.3 million to 2.15 million. It's too early to say the ratings actually still are pretty good. It's just how much farther do they keep falling? Where do they, you know, level off? And that's the big key, is where they level off.
Yeah. And it just got the drop was expected. You know, I think a lot of people are really enjoying the presentation of this. And from what I've seen, I think there is potential for this but again, the ratings are going to, you got to see that over a period of time. We may not be able to look at that until you have the season over with and have an average and you see, you know, coming back for a second season and then you got to wait and see what they do the second season and see if the interest climbs or if this is one of those things where it just keeps going lower and lower and, you know, because that's what the first time they did it, it just got going lower and lower, right?
Right. I mean, it collapsed. Yeah. It dropped 50% in the first week on NBC. So it's not better than that. Do you think the eight teams hurts it because you don't have that many markets? So as someone in Denver, you don't care about the New York Guardians. There's nothing. It's not like you grew up a Guardians fan to tie you in.
It's definitely tougher. You know, that's the whole thing they're doing is extremely. It's a difficult thing because you're going up against the NFL, which is so established and so large and has such a dominance, you know, just is so strong throughout all the United States, worldwide. Yeah. And it's, I don't know, man. They clearly had from their research feel that NFL fans, football fans want an off season product. And they felt strong enough to where he decided to go in on this again and try to redo this. And he's definitely made positive changes across the board. You're starting a new business venture. I can't even, who God knows how much money this cost, how much he has invested in this, you know, doubling it and putting 16 teams, you know, that makes it doubles your expenses essentially or close to it. It's
right.
We're talking a lot of money here. So, and this is kind of, I think that it's just, they're going to see how this goes. And then I'm sure there will be expansion into next season. I'm sure they'll do 10 or 12 teams if they can. I don't know. It's not easy. But Vince obviously wants a challenge. I think wrestling he's probably zapped out on as far as the business model. He has it set up the way that he wants it set up. I'm sure it doesn't really do much for him at this point. It's other than just bringing in revenue, and he needs a new challenge. And this is what this is to him.
Yeah. Shelton Benjamin revealed this week that he re-signed. He signed a new multi-year deal with WWE. You're seeing a bunch of people re-signing. During that same interview, talked about how frustrated he is in the company. He'd like to be doing more. It's kind of the sign of the times where even if they're not going to use you, they'll give you a good deal just to stay.
Yeah. I would, man, you know, he's so talented. And I think he's done well at every point that he's been there. I loved him when I was younger, early on, when part of Team Angle and with him and Haas. And I think there's, you know, I looked with him and Brock have great chemistry. I really think that there's, and if you want to take Brock so figured into that title and being in that, just that role, you know, I would love to see a 6-8 month run with him and Shelton tag team and let back, you know, like, but Brock would have to be there. I don't know how often he could be there. And I think that would be a very entertaining. I think it would allow Brock to be a much different character on TV even. And then maybe break that off into a feud of some sort. Hell, I would like to see, I think Shelton and MVP together would be very entertaining if they had an MVP's back. And obviously I know he's going to be a producer, but I think that would be a great way to have another tag team with two guys that are entertaining, that are really talented in the ring. It's just, they sign guys to keep him on board. You know, at the end of the day, all I hope is, you know, he's healthy and he's making great money, saving his money, obviously. And I'm sure he's a guy I honestly could see being a producer there as well after. So,
yeah. Yeah. And MVP, he did confirm that he is a producer now with the company. And, you know, he did very well on TV as well. So they're using him more and more on TV. And
great character, man. I came up from Deep South Wrestling with him. He's always stood out to me he's always had a presence about him. And he's another guy I thought, especially early on working with Benoit in those matches and with Finlay and guys, I really, you know, he was a guy that was, you know, like a U.S. title guy at that level. And I always thought there was more room for him to go especially when he was in his prime in WWE. Obviously now I think being older and he has a strong on-air presence still, his character, where he could be used in a diversified way, not always wrestling. So he's great. I like him and MVP, Drew in the ring, man. I like MVP a lot.
Yeah. Also this year with the Hall of Fame, we actually, Wrestling Inc. exclusively learned that JBL is one of the names I believe it's finalized. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure it's finalized that he'll be going in. I don't know if it's as him as a singles or with Ron Simmons as the APA, but JBL is one of the names. Also, the British Bulldog is reportedly set to go in. They have announced NWO, Batista, and then a couple other names that they haven't announced that are expected to go in are the Bella Twins and Jushin Thunder Liger, who wrestled one match on NXT, but as we've seen in the past, it's not necessarily a WWE Hall of Fame, as there have been other NWA guys in.
So that's a lot of names this year, I feel like, especially that's interesting. I wonder, so you got British Bulldog, you got Batista, you said, and NWO?
Yeah, Batista and the NWO, they've been announced already.
And then what was the other one? And then JBL. So I wonder that'll be a very interesting who gets main event. Is it Batista or NWO?
I would think if I'm calling it, I would say Batista, since all those other guys already have been in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
This is all their second induction.
But it all comes down to who your buddies right. with.
That's Batista's friends with both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it's a man. Nash is a hell. I'm putting my money on Nash.
he went in over Macho Man that year.
Yeah,
Macho Man wasn't the main event.
So that's a tough one. I don't know. I might say NWO main event set, but that won't be shown. It'll probably be Batista.
Whatever. I mean, NWO did have the bigger influence on the business.
Obviously, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's a tough, like, right. a lot of names there with guys. And it's not all of it's just who it's, you go in, you go in. It's all made up with that. Yeah. Just, it's the, yeah, man, no, JBL. I always, man, he's hell of a career in WWE. Big, believable bruiser in the ring. Loved his clothesline from hell. It's, he reinvented himself after, you know, and being multiple different characters. And I remember coming up through Tough Enough and see that when he was the man on SmackDown, he had the title and they had Orlando, what's the guy's name? Jordan had him with the cabinet yep. with him and the Basham brothers and
Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlando Jordan.
Orlando sorry. Jordan. Yeah. And they had that he was, I remember he was getting his, that he was the man during that period. And it was crazy looking. I remember thinking how elaborate everything was being so new to the business at that point. And we actually, funny story, at a bar, they made us drink with at the hotel bar during Tough Enough, and Bradshaw got loaded, fucking wasted, which is not a surprise. And I don't think I didn't drive, but it ended up me and Daniel Pewter got designated to take JBL back to his hotel. And like JBL just had the title, he was sitting in the passenger seat. I think Pewter was driving. I think I was in the back. And John's just talking the whole way. It was pretty funny. That was my memory. That was one of my first memories of him, though. And he was great. Yeah. He was a nice guy. You hear all these stories. He couldn't have been any nicer. So not to say yeah. that I'm sure he had his moments, but he was more than polite to me and Pewter. So
yeah, and you talk about someone who was just had so many characters in the company to make it to the world title. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and because he was never working on top for the majority of his career.
Right,
and
he was with Uncle Zeb at the beginning with the long hair. Then yeah. he was a Blackjack, and then APA.
You know, and which is crazy, and too, which people don't understand why people change characters. But I can tell you, I remember as a kid, and I watched, he was a guy I didn't pay a lot of attention to. That when he had reinvented himself in the APA, I didn't even realize for a bit that he was the other guy that I'd seen. In, like, because I'm watching as a kid, it wasn't is, and now maybe kids watching it, information's a little more out there, but the internet wasn't around back then either. So, but that's where reinventing yourself can really, you know, work wonders.
Right. The final thing, this was kind of a big story this week, is Val Venus was going hard at AEW for putting the women's title on Nyla Rose. Cody was not happy on a media call that we were on this week. He basically called Val Venus the Disco Inferno of WWE, saying he doesn't know who he is anymore, and basically said, you know, he's not going to give Val Venus any oxygen when it comes to talking about Nyla, but he will never book Val Venus, and any place around him when they're in town won't book Val. So
I don't know what it's unfortunate, and I don't know. I saw something that he'd said. Val, I know too, is he's jumped on. I think he's blocked on my accounts. I met him years ago. He came with his daughter to an event, the WWE event, and was super nice and got pictures, wanted pictures with me and his daughter and him, and it was very pleasant. And then after I left WWE, he just started going off on me and over things and big steroid muscle head dummy. And I'm just stupid things. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, that's one thing you got to be careful with in the business, how you talk about the other talent. And right. I try to always do my best and keep an open mind on all this stuff, and not, even when you give your opinions, you still don't want to be like, well, they fucking suck. It's like the Keith Lee and Donovan. Like, I don't agree with that, but I appreciate their athleticism and their great talents and they're hardworking. And it's not,
right,
they're very new, and they have time to figure that out, hopefully, still. It's never like, these guys suck and they're the worst, and it's just me explaining that from right. my point of view. And I think something like that, everyone is obviously going to have their different personal feelings on the Nyla Rose stuff. I'm like, man, she's a heel. I think it would be fantastic for them to play that up, even. and let her rub that in people's faces in a way. I'm more of a woman than any of you. Whatever. Like, get people more mad over it. Because it's clearly there's something there that is bothering people to some people. So let be the ultimate heel and rub that in their faces and remind them every week. Remind them. Make Val so goddamn pissed off that he can't shut his mouth. He's obsessed with an angle. And or so, to me, it's, you know, and I know there's mixed feelings on it in real sports and things of that. And again, it's a very sensitive subject and it's tough. But I'm thinking it's pro wrestling at the end of the day. It's acting. She's right. Playing a part. And I have no problem with it. It's not, if people, my thing is, if people are getting angry over it, make them angrier over it. And because you're going to have people that watch it, it's going to make it even bigger and more entertaining. Get mainstream media attention with it. And Cody, perfect answer. And I agree. I like, I've had Disco. I like Disco. But I'm not familiar with everything Disco has said or him and Cody, whether they have issues. That's none of my business on that things. I can tell Cody, though, is very passionate about all this. And he's the one putting in all the effort and the work of starting a promotion and helping guys and working with these other guys and Tony of giving the wrestlers another option, a place to go. You don't want to burn your bridges at any. You really don't, ultimately, for no reason like that. It's, and I don't know. Val's an opinionated guy. I don't, and I have nothing. I met him before. He was a nice guy when I met him. I've just seen he's tends to say he's, like, he's nothing but insulted me since I left. And I'm like, why? There's no valid reason for it. And again, with something like this, and I don't know. Just, you got to be careful with judgment, man. It's a powerful thing. And it's with what AEW is doing in having, you know, they're trying to kind of break some walls down with things. And I appreciate it. It's not, again, it's, I don't want to see women wrestling men as far as for World Heavyweight Championships and that thing. And again, that's just my opinion on it. And I'm sure eventually there will, it's going to happen probably at some point more, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they have something with it, though, personally. And I think she, hearing her on her promo last week, I really think they should incorporate some element or that where she's not maybe necessarily saying that, but dropping hints or rubbing it in. Like, I really think that would get people even more pissed off. That's getting heat.
Yeah.
So, job well done by her. She's generating a reaction. So,
she cut a hell of a promo on Dynamite last week as well.
Yep. So, and I think you give her more attention. Like, if that's something that's bothering people, they're going to keep watching because they're bothered, they're triggered by it. Like, so it's and that's being the ultimate heel. That when finally one of those babyface women finally can dethrone her, I mean, keep that title on her for a fucking year,
right?
Really, it will. It's that's called working, people. That's great.
Yeah. Well, we're in the midst of the busy seasons. We got Super Showdown coming up, Elimination Chamber, AEW Revolution, then WrestleMania, of course. So it's going to be jam-packed. But thanks, as always, for having me on.
Likewise. Can't wait. If we got another Saudi story of the boys, I heard they made a pact of everything. They go together, they stay together if they get left behind. So the fact that that's even an option at this point, I'm like, Jesus.
Right.
I'm on the first flight out of there, guys, regardless. Fuck everyone.
Just sneak out.
Anything, Raj, you want to go ahead and plug this week?
Yeah, just keep checking out wrestling.com. We have more content that we know what to do with right now. There's so much going on. We got new interviews with the former Bull Dempsey, Ace Austin. We got the Cody Rhodes media call, the Triple H media call, all sorts of stuff. Tama Tonga. So check out wrestling.com.
Good deal. And I got Adam Rose on this week on Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. That will drop on Thursday. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Feed me more.
May you rest in peace.
Awesome! Yes! Yes! Yes!
Hulkamania is running wild!
Yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Ha ha! Woo! Shooting place! Wrestling report!